that?" her father challenged. She could tell by the suspicious light in his celestial eyes that he expected her to say the scars on his body, which was true, but like her mother, she didn't really see those. Rather, it was a much more obvious difference, one that made her lean forward to whisper loudly above the club's din. "Your pockets don't bulge from carrying Simi's barbecue sauce and snacks." Nick laughed. "That is true enough. Gah, I'll never forget that Thanksgiving when we almost ran out. You never seen anyone run faster to make groceries share than me in your life. I don't know who went paler faster, me or Ash."
"Oh, that was definitely Alexion," Ash said with a laugh. "He was the most frightened by Simi's pout that day, I assure you."
"Nah, it was Savitar," Cody tisked as she saw Simi approaching with her husband. "Are you hearing the lies they're telling about you, Aunt Simi? Terrible, terrible lies." "Hey, Cody." Blinking, Cody left her memory to return to the present, or the past. For the first time, it was strangely confusing for her, as she finally had real memories of her life with Nick. Takeshi had been right. She'd been a lot older than Srirasha had led her to believe, had led her to remember. She hadn't been the young teen she'd originally thought. They'd taken more than just her life from her. They'd taken everything. "I was lied to," Cody cursed, as she realized what they'd done. They'd stolen the water of the lathe. It was the only thing that explained all this. Hades gave it to all the dead so that they would have no memory of their life.
"How could I have been so stupid?" she breathed.
No, not stupid. Trusting. She'd believed in them, and they'd intentionally misled her, told her partial truths, and never given her enough of the past to refute it. It was easy to believe a lie when you only had one side of an argument. When you only had a bit of the facts, too easy to paint someone as a scoundrel or villain, but she should have trusted her gut more. Past behaviors were far better indicators of someone's habits. A leopard doesn't change its spots. She knew that adage well. Nick had never given her a reason to doubt his integrity. It was why she'd hesitated from the moment she met him. He'd never been anything other than a gentleman. He lived his life with honor and code. Through and through, unlike others, he wasn't a liar or a cheat. Deep down, she'd known where the truth was. Just as she knew right now that something else wasn't right, Charisse knew it too. All of this was wrong. Nick wouldn't stand her up. Not like this, and not once they'd made plans. It wasn't in him to be so thoughtless or selfish. Something else was going on.
"Trust in what you know."
Nick wasn't a scoundrel or a liar. He didn't treat people like this. She had no reason to doubt him. But the others. She needed to find Caleb and Zev and investigate what was really going on here. Nick was in trouble. Every part of her instinct told her that if they didn't sort this out, it would be too late. He'd be lost to them forever.
Chapter 11. Alone and abandoned, Nick wandered helplessly through the barren fields of the broken mind. Everything here was twisted and dark. Shadows lurked and attacked all around, all the time. Out of the countless scary places he'd been and hundreds of enemies he'd faced, this was by far the worst, the most insidious. Because he never saw the attacks coming. They were random and violent. Every time he dropped his guard, something swooped in out of nowhere to bring him low. As he staggered through the dark, the shrieking winds were deafening, and he felt so alone and isolated. He didn't know how long he'd been here. It seemed as if eternity had passed as he fought to survive. Cyprian had been right. No one knew the difference between the two of them. His son had taken his place, and no one was the wiser. They really didn't know the shadow from the truth.
"I'm completely forgotten."
He didn't matter to anyone. Not to his mom. Not to Cody. No one. How could anyone be so deliberately blind? Did they want to be lied to? Or did they just not care?
I should just lie down and die.
Really, why was he bothering? What did it matter at this point? He was so tired of the fight. So tired of living. I'm just a kid. If it sucks this bad at this age, why should I bother trying to make it to adulthood? It'll only get worse. He knew that for a fact. It wasn't like he hadn't seen the future and the mad nightmare that was waiting to swallow him whole. Just like the beast rushing now to attack from the dark. Shouting out, Nick swung at the hideous mass of corpulent monster closest to him that was going for his throat. Its claws slashed as it tried to open his jugular and drain him dry. He had no idea why he didn't let the creature have him. Maybe it was sheer stubbornness at this point. Face it, his son sucked. His daughter, not so much. But Cyprian was a major douche nozzle. World would be so much better off without them both. Yeah. He should do everyone a favor and just end this. Right here. Right now. Throw his sword down and let these things eat him whole. He almost succumbed to the weary desolation. Why not? His mom was still young enough. She could pick up the pieces. Have another kid. One who wouldn't get her killed in a few years. Her and Bubba could make a nice life together, without him. Surely he owed her that much. His breathing ragged, he watched as the shadows shrank away, as if they knew something inside him had changed, as if they sensed it and were terrified by it.
If you die, Nick, Asheran's wife will too, and his sons won't be born. He'll never find it in him to make peace with sticks, and Cody won't be born at all. Neither will her brother, Harry. Orion will never know who his real parents are. Bethany will never be freed from her prison. For all the bad you think he'll do, you do a lot more good for the room.
Nick froze at the familiar, lilting voice that rumbled through the darkness.
What?
Vaughn stepped forward so that he could see him more clearly.
It's true, mate. More than that, Kirin will die. You're the one who saves his life from Desiderius. Amanda won't find him without you. She won't have any idea where to look. And Valerius Magnus's life without you, he'll never marry Tabby. You are crucial to them all. Even Talon and Zarak owe you. Dark Hunters, you are yet to meet. You're seeing only the bad right now, boyo, the pain.
'Tis easy to get lost to that pity. Believe me, I know.
He moved closer to Nick.
There's not a day what goes by I don't lament me in life and what I've done in it. As the old saying goes, mistakes I've made a few. But we do what we do and we carry on as best we can. It's not how we deal with the best, what life gives us, that makes us who we are, Nick. It's how we pick up ourselves after we fall. It's not brave to stand tall underneath a shining sun and with praise at your back. Bravery comes when there's no reason to get out of bed and every reason to run for the door. But you make yourself crawl out and face the thundering horde and hatred, knowing you're most likely going to get your arseling and pride hand-fed to you.
Yeah. I've had enough of that, thanks.
We all have.
Vaughn gestured at his body.
You think I enjoyed this?
He had a point. Nick couldn't imagine anything much worse. That was his biggest nightmare, there, waking up in someone else's body, not knowing yourself when you looked in the mirror. He still hadn't gotten over the PTSD of it. It had left a lingering impression on him, and At least he'd been in an alternate Nick body with some of the same things he knew. Vaughn's reality was a lot more crushing. He couldn't even begin to imagine that horror.
"But I don't have the luxury of death," Vaughn continued. "This is me fate, deserved or not, for all eternity, and there's nothing I can do about it except strap up and cope."
He smirked.
"Complain a bit, too, from time to time."
Nick snorted, knowing the truth was that Vaughn seldom did that. Honestly, he almost never spoke about it at all. It was one of the things Nick admired most about him, or her, rather. The subject only came up whenever Vaughn met someone like Aaron or Kazil, who knew him before his curse. Otherwise, he soldiered on. Reckless abandon, it was their unspoken code of honor, what kept them all going in the face of everything that sought to lay them low. Which made Nick wonder something. "How are you here, Vaughn?" Was he hallucinating from some kind of delirium? He had to admit, that last round of demons had rung his bell pretty hard. It wasn't too far a reach to think he could be lying unconscious and dreaming all this. Kazil moved to stand by Vaughn's side.
"We're here to fetch you home, boyo."
In his demon form, Caleb swooped in to examine the monster Nick had last taken out.
"I have to say I'm impressed. Figured you'd be elbows deep in trauma. How'd you manage without us?"
Nick snorted at his droll tone.
"You know me. God hates me too much to kill me and get this over with. Besides, give it a minute. Sure, my friends will be back any second. You just missed them."
Caleb laughed.
"That's a first."
"Right."
Nick shrank his sword back to the size of a pocket knife before he returned it to its flap. He drew up short as he caught sight of Cody. Emotions tore through him so unexpectedly that for a minute he couldn't breathe. These were the times when he knew he loved her, when he finally understood how much Lil had meant to Caleb, Myoni to Zev, his mom to his dad. That fist to the gut he got every time he saw her face. There was nothing else like it. She was the air he breathed, the sun that came after the torrential rain. No, the rainbow. His soul could be frozen and brittle, and a single smile from her face would warm every part of it, set him on fire from the tip of his toes to the ends of his hair. He'd never known anything like it. No matter how bad he felt, the sound of her voice lifted him. The touch of her hand made his skin electric. Unable to speak past the magnitude of everything rushing through him all at once, he pulled her into his arms and crushed her against him. And when she wrapped her arms around him and laid her head against his chest, he trembled.
"Yeah. Okay." This was why he fought. He remembered now. For her. She was so worth it.
"You okay, Boo?"
"Am now,"
he said gruffly. There was no need in letting her know how stupid he was being, how weak.
"Oh, you're so precious."
Cody's laughter turned cruel an instant before she changed into a hideous, gigantic, fanged, corpulent beast, the same beast he'd just killed. Voracious in all things, its unnaturally Titian hair reflected like gaudy rust in the dim shadows. Hissing, Nick stabbed it through the heart and drove his claws through the hollow of its jaw, catching the mandible. Fury caused his Malachi wings to launch through his back, and it took control of him for the mockery. Before he could stop himself, he curled his fingers around the bone and wrenched the mandible free of the sinew and muscles. It was disgusting, but he couldn't help it, and it didn't satisfy his need for vengeance or his cry of indignation. He wanted more. He wanted every last drop of its blood to coat his body and drink the beast dry. He was through playing these cruel games with them. No more. "Who's next?" he shouted to the twisted trees surrounding him. "Bring it on! I'm done with you all. You want some of me, you better come prepared." Forget the Malachi. Generations of Cajun blood boiled inside him. They were swamp people, and they didn't take injustice and mockery lying down. They gave it back with both fists and two kicks. He ran at the next shadow that came for him. Azura pulled back the second she saw the degree of fury inside the Malachi and the form he'd taken. No longer was his skin mottled red and black. He was a pure, saturated ebony, so dark that he absorbed all light itself, matte and resistant to all color. He took in the living essence of everything around him. It was something she hadn't seen since the beginning of time. Something wholly unexpected. Even her brother Noir, the darkest of all the ancient gods, hesitated in respectful trepidation.
Well, this is new.
Indeed.
And by the expression on her brother's face, she could tell that this Malachi wasn't feeding his powers. Another first.
Are you all right?
Noir's nostrils flared.
Do I look all right?
Honestly, he looked a bit green, which contrasted greatly with her naturally blue skin. Knowing better than to answer him when he was this upset, she quickly changed the subject.
This must be why Cyprian and Laguerre hid him from you.
How can a Malachi drain me?
Azura felt the blood leave her face, as the only possible answer came to her. It was the same reason they'd demanded the life of Braith's husband, why they'd made sure that their sister never birthed another brat from Kisare.
He would have to be part Sephiroth.
And Noir had drank his blood. That would not only weaken, it could kill him. Shrieking, her brother recoiled, as if he recognized the truth of her words, and were every bit as disgusted that someone else might have discovered their one weakness.
Get those swords. Rebuild our army and turn them to our side. We need to bring down Cam and Verlin. I want Rezar's throat.
That's all well and good, but we don't know where Rezar is.
He turned on her with fury in his black eyes.
A Sephiroth can find him. Don't be stupid.
I wasn't trying to be stupid.
She ground her teeth at him. And if it was so easy for a Sephiroth to find him, he'd have been located. Sadly, there were only two people alive who could call Rezar out of hiding. Braith, whom the god loved and would do anything for, and Rezar's brat, Bethany. Too bad for them that Bethany was currently being held as a living statue, prisoner in a realm where neither of them could venture. Yeah, neither option was open to them. It was so frustrating. He was right, she was stupid. Yet not so stupid that as she turned back to her brother, she didn't recognize something else. The color of his skin. Green. Verlin. Suddenly everything clicked into place as she remembered the end of the war, the fall of the Sephirii army. Verlin had been charged with rounding up their swords and destroying them. Behind their backs, the Colossum had taken Seraph medallions and created a new army with a loophole, while not Sephirii. They were made up of their children. The same concept, only instead of their swords holding the more powerful creatures who'd bonded with the Sephirii, such as Takara, these swords held Seraphim souls, who would bond with their own kin during combat so that they could fight against her and Noir and whatever forces they unleashed.
I should have known.
They could never trust their siblings. For creatures who claimed to be goody-two-shoes, they were ever plotting mayhem. And this time, those jackals might have finally found a way to destroy them. Terrified, she pulled Noir close and took him home to their dark palace to hide before Jaden or anyone else learned their secret. She would have to walk carefully and guard this, as it could undo them both. This was treacherous ground indeed.
What are you plotting?
Noir accused.
Shh!
She laid him back in his bed.
You rest. I'm going to find a way to use those swords to make Tarnhem from them.
The Tarnhen were the dark Sephirii who'd been corrupted. With them, they could turn the tables on their brethren and overthrow the balance. Brushing Noir's dark hair back from his forehead, she offered him a determined stare.
Have no worries. We will rise, and they will regret this.
No one got the better of them, not without paying a bitter, harsh price. This war was far from over. Chapter 12. Nick shook as he felt the powers of the Source flowing through him. It was the first time he'd ever tasted real blood, and what blood it was. Colors exploded around him as every voice in the universe cried out at once. The sound hit him like a thrumming drumbeat that reverberated through his entire body until his own heart synced to it, and they pounded as a single unity. He felt the cosmic alliance. Was this what Acheron lived with? If so, he couldn't imagine the responsibility the Atlantean lived with. It was heady and terrifying. I could destroy the world. He understood the power. It wouldn't be hard. As the Malachi, he had the ability to call forth every dark entity from its prison or corner and force it to his command. No one born of the Mavromino could deny him.
Nothing can contain me.
Nick tilted his head as he realized a truth that had escaped even his father, because his father had never dared what he'd just done. Lifting his hand, he threw a burst of fire through the membrane that held him inside his grimoire. While a part of him doubted his discovery, another part knew the truth. Lucky for him, that part wasn't insane. His fire caught and spread into a circle in the air, hovering like a manhole. It formed a sizzling ring of fire that made a portal from this world back into his own. Like dialing a phone, all at his command, even Grimm would have been impressed that Nick had finally learned to master the very powers they'd all tried so hard to teach him.
I am the Malachi.
Unrestrained. May the gods help them all now. Honestly, even he was scared by it.
I have to remain in control of it.
So long as he did, everything would be okay. He couldn't let his emotions rule him, and whatever he did, he had to keep rein on his temper.
Defy my destiny.
He should be good at that. He'd never been the kind of kid to mind anyone, or do what was expected of him. If he was, he'd be in county lockup now, not an honor student at one of the most exclusive prep schools in New Orleans, a school that rarely took in students who weren't from the Blue Bloods who'd founded it, or the kids of Dark Hunters, their squires, or werehunters. Yet Nick had scored higher than anyone in the school's history. Yeah, if he could do that, he could do this. With a deep breath, he flew through the portal into his bedroom and quickly changed into his human body. Then he waved his hand and closed the portal behind him, sealing it shut. A nervous twinge made the hairs on the back of his neck rise. Could it really be this easy? He still wasn't completely sold. After all, tricks on him were commonplace, especially here lately. It would be routine for this to be yet another act of cruelty. Cautiously, he made his way through his room, looking for any sign of another attack. Not to mention, the last thing he needed was for someone to see two Nicks. Life was confusing enough. And while he was creative, he doubted he could make anyone believe a good twin versus a bad twin scenario. Especially his mom, since she knew for a fact that he was an only child.
Thought you were going out.
Nick jumped at the unexpected deep voice. Cursing, he jerked around to face Zavid, who was in human form. What are you doing here, besides trying to kill me with a heart attack? Zavid normally stayed with Caleb.
Cocking his head, Zavid sniffed at the air, then relaxed.
Oh, thank the gods. It's you.
Me?
Yeah, you, not the fake Nick. I have to tell you, I've been getting sick as a dog of his crap.
If Nick wasn't still hyperventilating, that would be funny, given that Zavid was a shape-shifting hellhound. Was he dreaming? Nick wasn't sure if he could trust in this or not. You knew?
Of course I knew. Took a bit to make the others realize it, but he doesn't smell like you.
Zavid pulled him back into his room. Nick relaxed a degree. Did anyone else notice?
Only your mom. Though she blamed it on a phase you were going through. And the Cody, too, but it took her a little while.
That made him feel a lot better. That he wasn't completely irrelevant and replaceable. How long have I been gone?
2 weeks.
2 weeks? Nick started to flip over it until he remembered something. Did the weasel pass my chem test, or do I have summer school?
He aced it.
For that, he could almost forgive Cyprian. Good, because I'd have knifed him if he'd damaged my GPA.
Seriously, this is your biggest concern, given everything else.
End of the world? And a close second is being forced to attend junior college. Yeah, have you seen the difference in the campuses? Suddenly, Zavid had that disgusted look Caleb got so often around him. Don't you even take that expression, old dog. It's a big deal. I'm supposed to go to Loyola and Tulane. Can't do that with failing grades. He gestured toward his desk, where his phone was normally docked. Check with Caleb. He'll tell you what my future was.
Anyway,
Zavid said, grabbing Nick by the arms.
Getting back on point. Your little friend has been playing havoc with everyone. It's so bad the Bubba's banned you from his store. He even threatened to shoot you if he saw you again.
Nick's jaw went slack. Pardon?
Yeah. Your mom's about ready to call in a priest to have you exorcised.
That's priceless. So what happens if you exorcise a Malachi?
You really don't want to find out.
If it's done to Cyprian, I do. Zavid rolled his eyes.
Fine, get Caleb. He knows a few to call. I dare you.
Normally, Nick would call that bluff and raise it, but not today. He was a little tired of the fight. So, how do we get rid of this jackass? Before Zavid could respond, Nick felt a peculiar ache in his stomach. It was a soured feeling, like being sucker-punched after eating way too much cake. For a moment, he feared he was going to be sick.
Nick?
He couldn't breathe. The worst premonition went through him. When he prayed he was wrong about. Unable to stand it, he teleported to Cody's house. The moment he appeared in her living room, he knew something was wrong. And it wasn't just because the place was wrecked. This was more than that. Tears filled his eyes as he choked on her name. He couldn't bring himself to say her name. His fear was too profound for that, because if she didn't answer, please, be here, be okay. Nick ran through the rooms looking for her. Each one showed the remains of a vicious fight. Pictures were torn from the wall and shattered on the ground, furniture overturned and busted, but it was the blood on the walls and floor that made his wings shoot out. And when he reached her bedroom, everything in his world shattered. For a full minute, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't move. All he could do was stand there as he saw her lying on the bed, dressed in her white Nakoda uniform. She was pale and unmoving. Her mother's bow was on the floor near her, as was her sword. Over and over, Nick saw the future where she died. He saw the day he met her, the way she defended him against Mason and Stone at school, heard her laughter as she teased him. Silent tears burned his cheeks as he stumbled toward her. Cody? But it was too late. She was gone. Throwing his head back, Nick roared as pain filled him and prayed for this to be another cruel trick, prayed that he'd wake up in the grimoire. Nick? Hissing, he turned toward the sound of Caleb's voice to find his protector in the doorway, staring at him. The expression on Caleb's face said that he wasn't sure it was Nick he was looking at, or that he could trust his own eyes.
What happened?
His breathing ragged, he glared at Caleb.
That's what I want to know. What happened, Caleb? Where were you?
Hunting for you.
Why did you leave her unprotected?
Caleb didn't answer. Nick started to attack. The only thing that kept him from it was the last shred of sanity he had that recognized the agony inside Caleb's eyes. That haunted horror they shared. And the one worse bit that said he was reliving the moment when he lost his own wife. Never had he seen Caleb appear weak or affected by anything. Until now.
I wouldn't have...
Caleb's words broke off as his eyes teared up. His breathing turned every bit as ragged as Nick's as he staggered closer.
Can't you bring her back?
I don't have those powers, do I?
No, you don't.
Nick gasped. As he heard Cody's voice, snapping around, he saw the shadowy outline of her winged Errol form. She reached for him, then dropped her hand.
I'm sorry, Nick. I tried. I can't do this, Cody. Not without you.
Her lips trembled.
Of course you can, baby. You did it before.
I didn't know you then. But no sooner had those words left Nick's lips than he saw a peculiar flash, a glimmer of something that hadn't been there before. Cody let out a bitter laugh as she nodded.
Yeah, Nick, it's what you're thinking. Crazy, huh?
No,
it can't be.
She swallowed hard.
I have to go. But I couldn't leave without saying goodbye. I love you. Now and forever.
She started to fade. Cody, wait! She hesitated.
I will find a way back to you. You hear me? I swear to God! I'll be waiting.
Her gaze went to Caleb.
Take care, my boo. You'll need each other.
Then she was gone. Unable to breathe or cope, Nick raked his hands through his hair.
Caleb, tell me what to do.
You know I can't.
In that moment, he really did want to die. The last thing Nick wanted was to feel this much pain. Clenching his fists to his sides, he roared at the injustice of it all. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. Since when is life fair? Kirian and Asheron would be the first to laugh in his face about that whine. Nothing about life was ever fair. He knew it as well as they did. And he hated life for that fact. He always had, because it should be. Maybe that was what adulthood really was, after all, the moment when you realized that the sheet wouldn't tally at the end of the day, that one column would always have more than the other, and no matter what you did or how hard you tried, you just couldn't get the columns to balance, victim or victor. Did he really have a choice? Because right now, it sure didn't feel like it, no. This was life ramming it down his throat and shoving it in a place where he didn't think the sun would ever shine again. I'm done, Caleb. Caleb scowled at him.
What?
I mean it, this time. Why are we bothering? Why are we fighting still? He grabbed Nick by the shirt and jerked him so close that their noses practically touched. His dark gaze scorched him with fury.
For the reason you're going to stop feeling sorry for yourself, strap up and kick that bastard's ass. You made a promise and we don't break our words.
We're demons.
And we don't break our words. I made a vow to Lil, just as Zev made one to Myani, and you just gave yours to Cody. We fight, not for ourselves, but for what we love.
He shoved Nick back.
You ask me what you should do, that's it. You fight.
Wiping his eyes, Caleb sniffed.
Go on. See to your mom. I'll take care of Cody.
Nick hesitated. Did you hear back from Shadow?
He hasn't found the swords.
What's that mean?
That our enemies can rebuild their army.
Nick's stomach drew so tight that he felt sickened with those words. That's how they get us in the future, isn't it? Caleb didn't say anything. He didn't have to. The expression on his face said it all. We can't win this, can we?
I don't know, Nick. The cost has been so high.
But why? We're fighting for what's right. How can they just walk all over everything that's good and decent and no one stops them? No one else seems to care about the evil they do. Why should we suffer for the rest? Caleb let out a bitter laugh.
You're asking me? The Dave Demon? Remember whose side I was on originally? It wasn't this one.
He had a point. Clearing his throat, Nick wiped at his eyes.
I figured out my powers, okay? About time.
Nick snorted. Yeah, it was. He looked back at Cody and choked on another wave of tears as he realized it was too late for her. Ambrose came back to the past and tried to stop it 3 times.
Oh, no.
Caleb rose to his feet while Nick gently wrapped his jacket around Cody's body. His heart splintering, Nick brushed his hand through Cody's hair. I'm thinking that if this didn't work, we have one more option.
Nick,
hear me out, Caleb. Nick glanced past him to Zavit. This is a long shot, but it's time for the Hail Mary pass. We couldn't stop them here and now. I'm thinking we stop Cyprian in his own time.
How? You don't know when that is.
No. But we know someone who does. Caleb scoffed bitterly.
He won't let you do this.
I think he will. One way or another, Nick was going to force him to it.
Chapter 13.
You're out of your cage and mind.
Takeshi literally choked as soon as he heard Nick's idea. Nick shook his head. Cody's gone. He swallowed hard against the burning lump in his throat that mirrored the one in his stomach. His mood kept vacillating between nauseated grief, righteous fury, and hopeless defeat. Honestly, he was beginning to think his emotions needed a traffic cop as they swung from one extreme to the other so fast that even he was having a hard time keeping up with them. One word, one scent. It took next to nothing to send him careening over the edge to near breakdown levels, and he knew if anyone understood that, it was the ancient being in front of him. What would you do if you lost Nashira? The darkness in Takeshi's eyes churned like a storm front. It was palpable and terrifying, and enough to make Nick take a step back. Then you know how I feel right now. Takeshi winced, rubbing his hand over his heart as if it ached from the mere thought of it.
I'm sorry, kid.
And I'm mad as hell. I want blood for this, and I will have it. More than that, he was heartbroken and wounded to the core of his soul. Really, there were no words to describe how screwed up he felt, defeated and beaten, and yet the rage and need to strike back burned so deep inside him that it took everything he had not to lash out and annihilate the world and everyone in it. The fury he felt that everyone around him was going on with their lives unscathed and untouched, neither knowing nor caring that Cody was gone, while he felt like this? It was all he could do to hold himself back. He wanted to see it all burn to the ground, feel the cinders of souls rain down on his Malachi skin. Only then would the fury in his blood be appeased. This must have been how Kyrian felt when his soul screamed out for vengeance after his wife betrayed him, and Artemis came to make him a Dark Hunter. Nick finally got it with a clarity he wished to God he didn't know. He'd always wondered what could make someone sell their soul for vengeance. Now he knew. There were some questions you shouldn't ask, because you didn't want the answers to them. If the truth were known, he couldn't take it anymore. He was too young to be this tired. Life had finally kicked him in the stones one time too many. He just didn't want to get up again. Every option seemed closed and alien. In some ways, it was like being inside someone else's skeleton, as if his own skin didn't fit anymore. While he'd outgrown many shoes and clothes over his lifetime, this was the first time he'd felt as if he'd outgrown his own body. Must be how a snake felt right before it shed its skin. It makes perfect sense. I drink the water of the lathe and forget this and everything that's happened since the night Kyrian saved me. Caleb can use his magic to bind my powers again and plug in the right memories. That way my life will go on and reset the way it was supposed to be. I won't remember Cody or being the Malachi. Everything will be normal.
Takeshi rubbed at his chin.
What about your mom?
Taken care of. Caleb's going to help me with that, too. We'll find a way to stop it when I'm older and able to better handle this. I just need you to get me to the future later on. Can you do it? Takeshi let out a deep breath.
I can do lots of things. But as Asheron says, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And what you're asking could get us both smacked down in ways you don't understand.
I know. But I need you to do this for me. Please, help me save my mom and Cody.
Takeshi met Caleb's harsh stare.
And you're good with this, Malphas.
Caleb let out a bitter laugh.
I don't know. It's Nick. So I'm sure it'll get screwed up in some ways we can't even conceive.
But he's right. I don't see any other way to get them out of here and control the disaster they're bringing down on us.
Nick handed Takeshi his grimoire.
In exchange for this favor, I'll leave you with permanent custody of Nashira. You two can be together forever. With my blessings.
He cursed under his breath.
My one weakness.
And Cody's mine.
Taking the grimoire, Takeshi clutched it against his chest as a tick worked in his jaw.
You found the one bit of leverage you knew I could never say no to.
Yeah, I know. I'm a Malachi. Fighting dirty is what we do best.
And you're sure about this?
He nodded. It's the only way. I just need a few hours to clean this disaster up.
All right. I'll see you at midnight.
Nick inclined his head to him. As he started past Caleb, his friend stopped him.
It's been my pleasure, Malachi.
Those words actually made his throat even tighter, as another wave of tears choked him. It took everything he had to hold them back, because he knew Caleb didn't say things like that lightly.
That must have hurt to say out loud.
Like the fires of hell scalding my tongue.
Nick laughed.
Thank you, Kay, for everything you've done. For every wound you've taken in my name,
he held his hand up. I wish I could always remember
just what a great brother you've been.
Caleb took it and pulled him in for a bro hug.
I can't believe I might actually miss you.
Yeah, me and Kudzu. We defy all logic and tend to grow on the most unlikely of things.
Caleb clapped him on the back.
That you do.
Nick handed his phone over. I put everything in there you'll need, including the dates I know. Please, make sure nothing happens to Bubba and Mark.
I will do my best. But you know how they are. Can't help what they get into when I'm not around and they're determined to play with explosives and buckshot.
Well, there was that. Take care. Tapping him on the shoulder, Nick used his powers to teleport home. He had one last bit of business that he needed to see to. Track down Cyprian. This wasn't going to be pretty, but if the truth were known, he was looking forward to it. He'd barely reached his room before Zev was there, in human form.
You're not really planning this level of stupidity, are you?
Nick shrugged and flashed his famous Cajun grin.
Ah, now, grand-père, c'est moi, of course I am. Laissez les bons temps rouler, let the good times roll. Man's gotta do what a man's gotta do.
He sobered as he thought about what lay ahead for them. I didn't start this dance. But last call's on me. Free drinks all around. Zev sighed.
I never understand 90% of anything you say.
I know. Nick hugged his great-grandfather. I'll miss you, Grant.
I will not miss you calling me that.
Zev tightened his arms around him and held him for a moment longer.
But I will miss you, too.
He brushed his hand through Nick's hair.
Keep your nose clean.
You too. Don't kill Caleb.
Make no promises.
Nick laughed as he started cleaning out his pockets to hand over all his Malachi items. They couldn't afford for him to remember anything, not if his plan was to work. And he prayed it would. For Cody and his mom. As soon as Zev had everything and was gone, Nick used his powers to locate the other him. To his disgust, he realized Cyprian was at Sanctuary, where his mom was working. Of course he was. Freeloader. Fake. Pretentious. Could never be himself. He had to be a second-rate copy. It was disgusting if the truth were known. I would much rather be a first-rate copy of myself and fail than be a second-rate copy of anyone else for any reason. Furious, he headed straight over to the back alley that was only a couple of blocks from their condo. There wasn't anyone in Sanctuary's courtyard, or much of anything else for that matter. An old iron fountain and some greenery. The bears didn't come outside much. He wasn't sure why. But the only one he ever found out here was Jose, their cook. Sometimes one of the human waitresses. Intending to lure Cyprian outside, he headed for the door, but he only made it halfway there before Simi appeared by his side.
You really going to forget us, Aqua Nikki?
Her pout made his stomach tighten. He would definitely miss the Karate Demon. She'd been a lot of fun to hang out with. Just for a little while. We'll meet again when I'm older. Simi pouted.
Ooh, pooh, demon boy. Simi was very fond of her friend. I shall miss you.
I'll miss you most of all, Miss Simi. He kissed her cheek. Instead of allowing him to pull away, Simi held him close.
Don't keep the sadness in your heart, Demon Nikki. It would make Aqua Cody very sad if she knew you had it in there.
I know. Nick wiped at the sudden moisture in his eyes, and he cleared his throat gruffly.
Can I ask a favor, Seam?
Sureesies.
Can you go get the fake Nick and get him out here for me?
Like I did yesterday?
Nick laughed at the way she said yesterday. He would definitely miss the Seamy speak. I wasn't here yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that was the fake demon boy. Okies, Igos gets him for you. Wait right here, and I'll be back lickety-split.
Still amused by her speech, Nick didn't move from the alley until Simi and Cyprian returned. The humor died on Cyprian's face the instant he saw Nick waiting for him. His eyes turned a vibrant red.
What are you doing here?
What do you think?
You're wasting your time.
Nah,
wasting yours.
Without telegraphing his intentions, Nick punched him where he stood.
That's for Cody, you sorry piece of dung.
Then he hit him again and again as he unleashed every ounce of his grief and agony on him. His fists hurt and his knuckles throbbed as the skin over them started bleeding. Nick didn't care. Not now. Not when he wanted a pound of flesh from the one who'd hurt what he loved most. Cyprian began to laugh.
You can't hurt me.
The more you hit, the weaker you become. He spit blood in Nick's face. His fatal mistake. As Cyprian moved in to slug him, Nick ducked and came up with his Malachi dagger. He drove it straight into Cyprian's ribs as he stared into a pair of eyes that were identical to his own. With a stunned expression, Cyprian staggered back.
You can't kill me.
You're my father. Nick stabbed him again, then used the dagger to drive him back into the wall so that he could hold him there with it.
Not yet, I'm not.
You're just another demon out to end me.
And Nick O'Shea don't go down for no demon or anybody else. They should have told you that.
He felt his powers growing stronger as Cyprian's weakened.
You killed Ambrose, boy. You didn't kill Nick. Oh, yeah.
He had this. Nick was becoming the full Malachi again. Cyprian laughed weakly.
You might have killed me here and now, but this isn't over. All you've done is freed an even worse enemy. Bonne chance, mon père. Bonne chance.
And with that, he slid slowly to the ground. Nick felt his jaw go slack as his mind whirled from the threat. A sudden light pierced the dim alley, almost blinding him an instant before it consumed his son's body. Cyprian disintegrated. In a matter of seconds, nothing was left behind, not even a stain. There was no mark at all to say that Cyprian had ever existed. Shaken with that knowledge, Nick wiped the blood off his dagger, then handed it to Simi.
Please make sure Caleb gets that.
Oh, Keys, but where are you going?
To see my mom, before I forget everything I know.
And to make a few notes for Caleb. He wouldn't have long before the water took effect and left him completely ignorant. He winked at her.
You take care, Simi.
And with that, he headed to the front of Sanctuary, where Dev stood guard at the entrance.
Hey, that's why you're squirt back so soon.
Nick laughed nervously at his question. Dev must not have been able to see through Cyprian's trick.
You know me, I'm like a piece of gum, always attaching myself to your favorite pair of shoes, usually when you're on a date and trying to look cool.
Dev shook his head as they shook hands. Then Nick went inside. Life was ever changing, ever in motion. Victim or victor. No guarantees, except one. The day you stopped trying, you were guaranteed a loss. So long as you were trying, you weren't defeated. You were trying. And Nick O'Shea would never stop trying. Over, under, around, or through, he would find a way to save his mom and keep his promise to Cody.
I'll be back for you, Naria,
he whispered under his breath, as he saw his mom across the room, taking orders at a table.
And we're going to save Cyprian.
He had no idea how, but he wouldn't stop until he succeeded or died trying. Chapter 14. May 2000. Caleb let out a tired breath as he watched Nick running toward the school's entrance.
"Is he ever on time?"
Snorting at Zev's stupid question while they sat on a tree branch, he shook his raven's head.
"You know better."
In the form of a large white house cat, Zev swished his tail.
"Well, at least you finally got out of high school." "You're not funny, brother."
They both went still as they picked up on the death shadow heading up the steps, in the same direction Nick had just vanished. Disgusted, Caleb looked at his brother.
"You were saying?" "Go get him, Tiger." "What, you're not coming?" "You got this. Besides, I'm going to check on Nick and make sure he's all right."
Grumbling, Caleb flew toward the entrance. Still invisible, he transformed into his demon's body and went inside so that he could protect his charge. Zev reached up and touched Myoni's winged necklace around his neck before he used his own powers to return to an invisible version of his demonic self. Even though Nick was now ignorant of their existence, they still had to watch his back. All around them, evil flourished. It was a thankless job they would carry out until Nick was older. Not that Zev minded. For the first time in history, he was happy and content with his lot. While he might not have his wife or his son, he had Jared's daughter and grandchild near him. His legacy. And they were much better than a demon like him deserved. Nick paused as he felt the wind near him shifting. "Cody?" Brynna looked up from her lab worksheet to frown at him.
"Pardon, Gaucher? Have you lost your mind? Name is Adams. Hello, I know you know me. We've known each other for years."
Blinking, Nick shook his head. Where had that name come from? The only one he knew was the werehunter, Francois Pelletier at Sanctuary, who went by Cody as a nickname, but he wasn't looking for a guy. For some reason, he felt like it should be a girl's name. How odd. But then his entire purpose in life was to serve as an example to others on what they should never do. And apparently, he'd eaten paint chips as a kid or something, because he must have brain damage to be spouting off like this. Yet, here lately, it felt like something was missing from his life. Like something had been here once and it was now gone. But he didn't know what. Must be graduation jitters. Yeah, he'd go with that. Though it wasn't like he didn't know what he'd be doing after graduation. Basically the same as now. Squiring for Kyrian, occasionally running errands for Talon and Ash, doing a few odd shifts for Bubba and Liza in their stores, and going to school. Only instead of St. Richard's, he'd be at either Loyola or Tulane. He just had to decide which one he wanted to attend, since he'd been accepted into both.
"Are you listening, Mr. Gaultier?"
Nick glanced up at his teacher. "Yes, ma'am." Always. After all, he had a bright future to look forward to, and he had no intention of screwing it up.
Epilogue. New Orleans, 3247. Ambrose scowled as he felt a strange presence in his study. It was intense and powerful, unlike anything he'd felt in a long, long time. Immediately on alert, he flashed himself into the room to confront who or whatever dared to defy his sigils and invade his domain. Whoever it was, they would regret this stupidity. He'd make sure of it. At least, that was his thought, until he came face to face with the last thing he expected. A snot-nosed teen who bore a frightening resemblance to himself, right down to a tacky Hawaiian shirt that all but glowed in the dark. What the hell?
he had all but forgotten his mother's insistence on him wearing such travesty. Stunned, he realized the kid wasn't alone. Caleb was with him, along with Aaron, Kazeel, and Vaughn, and a teen girl he didn't recognize.
What is this?
The boy stepped forward.
You're going to want to sit down for this, demon man. After all, I got the idea from a future you. Brace yourself. I'm the old you from the past, and I'm here so that we can fix the timeline you screwed up and save the life of our son. He glanced over his shoulder at the others. Take my word for it. The end is just the beginning. This concludes Intensity by Sherilyn Kenyon, narrated by Holter Graham. Copyright 2017 by Sherilyn Kenyon. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Sherilyn Kenyon, care of Trident Media Group, LLC, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media, Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.